Bam! Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Big Screen Breakdown, where I like to talk about all the things on the big screen and small screen, but the alliteration just worked better for Big Screen Breakdown. My name is Mikey. With me is my girlfriend, Betty. What's up?
What's up?
So we got some fun stuff to talk about this week.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some news. We're going to do Mikey's Mandalorian Minute. Yeah, me too. And then we're going to talk about some stuff that we streamed and let you guys know if you should stream it or not. So, here we go, into the news. I got a bit of drama for you this week because I know you like drama. Do you know anything about Johnny Depp and his ex-wife, Amber Heard, and their drama of past few years?
Yeah, she's...
What do you know? You tell me.
Claiming that he assaulted her.
She's claiming that he assaulted her, okay?
Oh, I'm all up in the news.
You're all up in the news. Okay, so, yeah, back and forth, Johnny Depp and his now ex-wife, Amber Heard. She claims that he hit her. Then it came out that audio recordings of her, like, admitting to hitting him, and it's just this back and forth and back and forth. So, very recently, Johnny Depp lost a lawsuit against a British newspaper that called him a wife beater. So, he sued them for, like, you know, because he's saying that he's innocent. Slander. Libel, actually, when it's in, when it's printed. And he lost that. Right after that, I know you don't watch these movies. I know this. But Johnny Depp has been cast and played in the past two Fantastic Beasts movies. He played the bad guy called Gellert Grindelwald. And he's been asked by Warner Brothers to step down as this character. He put on his Instagram, he put a little note out there that said, "In light of recent events, I would like to make the following short statement. Firstly, I'd like to thank everyone who has gifted me their support and loyalty. I have been humbled and moved by your many messages of love and concern, particularly over the last few days. I wish to let you know that I have been asked to resign by Warner Brothers from my role as Grindelwald in the Fantastic Beasts, and I have respected and agreed to that request." And then he goes on to talk about, like, how his judgment in the UK will not change his fight to tell the truth, and he's going to appeal it, and, you know, thanking people for whatnot. So Warner Brothers asks him to step down. They release a statement saying, "Johnny Depp will depart the Fantastic Beasts franchise. We thank Johnny for his work on the films to date. Fantastic Beasts 3 is currently in production, and the role of Gellert Grindelwald will be recast. And the film will debut worldwide in summer of 2022. So they asked him to step down. He, you know, agrees. They didn't say it was because of this, but there has been
a... He hasn't been proven guilty.
He has not been proven guilty. There's been a lot of backlash. Like, people all over the world, like, even a meme page that I follow on Instagram is, like, livid that he got fired. And they're on his side and think that Amber Heard was the abuser.
I mean, he's such a big star. Mm-hmm. I would imagine, like, his fans are not very happy. But at the end of the day, if he was taking these actions to, like, hurt his wife, he needs to be judged the same way as a regular person and not a celebrity. I love Johnny Depp, but I will not stand for that.
No,
it's not okay.
No, definitely not okay. But none of us know the truth.
We don't know. Yeah.
It's kind of a he said, she said, because I looked into this. You know, these two, they met in 2009. They married in 2015. Mm-hmm. She filed for divorce in 2016 while accusing him of physical abuse. At the end of 2016, they settled out of court for $7 million. Like, she got $7 million of it, which allegedly she donated to charity. But they both released a joint statement saying, like, they said, like, you know, our love was very passionate and this and that. But the end of the statement said there was never any intent of physical or emotional harm. Like, they both released this statement together. And then in 2018, she was a part of an article in the Washington Post where she said that she became an advocate for people and she became the face of, like, people who had been abused. So basically kind of going back on the settlement that they had kind of reached. And then so in 2019, that's when he started to sue her for $50 million. For defamation and that article. And then earlier this year is when phone recordings were released, which she admitted to hitting him. So who knows what really went on. But the crazy thing, you brought up Johnny Depp being a big star, and these big stars, they have these contracts, and, you know, Warner Brothers has asked him to step down, but he filmed one scene for this movie, for the new movie that's going to come out in 2 years. So they still have to pay him his full 8-figure salary.
What?
Yeah, because he has a what is called a pay-or-play contract. And a lot of big stars have this in their contracts to where if you sign me for a movie and then you recast or you fire me for something, you still have to pay me. So he still is going to get an 8-figure salary. He'll probably have to do something else for Warner Brothers, but like they're still going to have to pay him that money, which is
an 8-figure salary.
Well, yeah, you look at, Robert Downey Jr. gets $50 million for an Avengers movie, you know? So like Warner Brothers looks at,
He would be an actress.
these, you know, Fantastic Beasts are kind of riding that Harry Potter fame, you know, right. It's in the same world universe. So they're looking at this to be their $1 billion movies, the things that bring in a lot of money. You know, they're willing to pay a big name like Johnny Depp to be in these movies. And now.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was a little bit of drama. So he's quote unquote fired. But they still have to pay him. And
well, then it's a win-win for him.
And then the problem that a lot of people are in an uproar about is that she made accusations, but then
retracted them.
And then there are reports and audio recordings of her admitting to hitting him. Warner Brothers fired him from Fantastic Beasts.
So she hit him and he got in trouble?
Well, she claimed that he had hit her. Again, we don't know. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But right. There was the only proof that had come out was an audio recording of her saying that, like, she hit him.
See, I think that's what's so interesting is, like, sometimes, you know, if you're in a passionate relationship and you're both hitting one another.
Yeah, I mean, we hit each other all the time.
You can't really be a victim, you know? You did something, they did something, and... Yeah, maybe one person took it a little too far, right. But it's engaged in it.
And I mean, we're not lawyers or cops or anything. We can't speak to who's in the wrong or whatnot. But in a fight, two people can be charged with assault. So if you're both hitting each other in a domestic sense, then who can be held at the most fault? You know?
Love is crazy.
Like, she accused him of, like, throwing a phone at her face or something. Sometimes you throw a phone. No, it's never okay. But what people are upset about is that Warner Brothers fired him, but there's been no word of her. She played Mera in the Aquaman movie. Like, that's kind of her big role right now.
The redhead?
Yeah.
That's her?
Yeah, that's her.
She's really pretty.
That she is. But maybe she's a liar. No, I don't know. I'm not on either side. But what Warner Brothers also produces DC movies. Mm-hmm. So no one has asked her to step down. So that's what a lot of people are in an uproar. That why does she get to keep her role in another $1 billion movie? Because the first Aquaman movie made $1 billion. Mm-hmm. And she's cast in Aquaman 2 to reprise her role as Mera. So why wasn't she asked to step down, but he was? Things like that are what people are, you know, really upset about. Who knows?
We'll never know.
Yeah. You want to hear about some more drama?
Okay.
From something that you like?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so a couple episodes ago, maybe two episodes ago, we talked about The Witches, the new movie starring Anne Hathaway.
Oh, I know this.
You know this?
Yeah.
Tell me.
They're criticizing the film because they're tailored to disabilities. And a lot of people with disabilities feel like they are being misrepresented with like deformations of the hands of how they portray the witches.
Okay,
it's just like, I feel like everybody gets so butthurt these days. I'm like, I get it. Like, you know, if you take it personal. But that's what's so fun about movies is that they don't have to be exactly like everybody. Or maybe they do, but it's like, I would feel like, I'd be like, man, that's so cool. Like, I'm kind of like this character, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Okay, so people with deformations of the hand, they're upset with the way that Anne Hathaway, because it was just her character, the Grand High Witch, you know, she only had three fingers.
I thought they all had.
I don't remember seeing everybody's hands.
I thought it was everybody.
Oh, well,
because that's why they wear gloves.
Well, I honestly don't remember.
The only thing she had different was they cut off everybody's toes except for Anne Hathaway's. She had one toe with the toenail. Yours, babe.
My toes are beautiful. Thank you. Okay. People with limb deformation were a little upset because...
What is it called?
The condition is called ectrodactyl or split hand, which is a hand or a limb. They call it limb difference.
Oh, wow. That is very similar.
Yeah, a limb deformation. So,
I'm looking at pictures now.
Right.
I mean, it's not exact.
Exact, but there are some similarities. You know, I get what you're saying that like... a lot of people are, you know, just sensitive. Like, that'd be, it wouldn't be, but it could get as far as like, oh, the bad guy in Incredibles has red hair, so now I'm mad because I have red hair, right? It's hard, but it's understandable because they're portrayed as the bad people. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know that Apple has a contract whenever their products are used in movies that the bad guy cannot use an iPhone? So if you're ever in a movie and you don't know who the bad guy is, if you see someone using an iPhone, they're not the bad guy at the end of the day.
Wow.
I learned this from watching Knives Out. I watched a little behind the scenes with the director of Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
And in the movie, Jamie Lee Curtis pulls out her iPhone and he said, oh yeah, just so anybody knows, Apple has this little clause that if we use their products, the bad guy can't use an iPhone.
Well, Knives Out was all a mystery movie, so why did they do that?
Well, but we didn't know that. So he was like, if you guys want to know a little behind the scenes thing, you know Jamie Lee Curtis isn't the bad guy because she has an iPhone. And
Jamie Lee Curtis is in that movie?
Yeah, she played Chris Evans' mom.
It was a long time ago we watched it.
It was like 3 months
in
ago. We did watch it at the drive-in. Yeah, because it was playing again. Anyways, so Anne Hathaway, you know, she released a statement saying that, and I quote, "I have recently learned that many people with limb differences, especially children, are in pain because of the portrayal of the Grand High Witch in The Witches. Let me begin by saying that I do my best to be sensitive to the feelings and experiences of others, not out of some scrambling PC fear, but because not hurting others seems like basic level of decency we should all be striving for. As someone who really believes in inclusivity and really, really detests cruelty, I owe you all an apology for the pain caused. I am sorry, I did not connect limb difference with the Grand High Witch when the look of the character was brought to me. If I had, I assure you this never would have happened. I particularly want to say sorry to the kids with limb differences. Now I know better and I promise I'll do better. And I owe a special apology to everyone who loves you as fiercely as I love my own kids. I'm sorry I let you and your family down." And then she also posted a video for a charity or a project called the Lucky Finn Project. And it raises awareness for people with limb differences. And using the hashtag not a witch. So, you know, she's like on side. Mm. You know, you can't make everybody happy, but you know, she feels like she upset people. So, I mean, at least she did something. But again, like, honestly, that's not something I would have ever thought of. I would have been like, you know, we're trying to make... They try to separate themselves from the original. And I think that's the problem that people had, is because in the book and in the first movie, like, the Grand High Witch, all the witches are said to have, like, claws. It's never said to have, like, you know, three fingers or something like that. So it was a new kind of thing that they added for this movie. However, I can totally understand how someone could get a little upset about it.
Right.
But, you know, I don't want to say someone's being too sensitive or not. Like, because it's not like they were saying, oh, this person was born like this. How gross. It's like, no, she's supposed to be like
that way.
She's supposed to look different, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add?
I don't know. With movies, I just feel like we need to have an open mind and not take everything so literal, because it's supposed to be an imaginary scenario for most movies, right?
Right.
It's like these fantasy worlds. Mm-hmm. It's this fantasy escape. Like, you know, when they made Nacho Libre, I wasn't like, oh, that's my Hispanic culture. It was like,
how dare they cast Jack Black?
How dare they cast as a white guy as Nacho Libre? You know what I mean? Like, it's right. Like, I understand that it's a movie. There's a purpose and an intent. And
or let's take, you've seen Fun with Dick and Jane, right?
Right.
They have this whole scene where Jim Carrey's character goes and works with migrant workers. And
right.
Like, they make fun of it, like, because he gets punched in the face, so he kind of has an accent.
Right.
And he's, like, saying, oh, no, call my wife Jane, but because he's got a busted lip, he's saying, like, Yane. And then, like, the immigration guys are like, oh, yeah, we'll call your wife Yane, and we'll call his wife Yaclyn, and his wife Yennefer, too. And then, like, when the kid answers because he's being raised by the nanny, he says, hola. But see, you're laughing at it, but, like, I mean, that's something that someone could easily be offended by, especially, right. Like, his wife breaks him out, and he, like, you know, like, 40 Mexicans jump into their tiny little car. Like, that's something that we could be offended by just as brown people in general, but,
Yeah, I just think, like, movies are a way to escape. And
right.
If you take things so literal, like, you're diminishing that industry, right. You know? Like, with art, like, it's supposed to be a form of expression.
Right, right.
Theatrical events are meant to move something in you. If you get disturbed, if you get happy, if you get emotional. You know what I mean? They're meant to place those feelings. Like, But I hope that, like, we always understand that when we watch these movies. Like, yeah. You know, if it really does affect you, like, try not to take it personal. It wasn't like they were out to get you.
It's a movie. That's my point, is that it's not like they said, oh my God, someone with a limb difference is gross.
Yeah.
Her hands looked a certain way. They weren't pointing a finger at that specific community.
Right.
Just like, you know, in Fun with Dick and Jane, they weren't like, okay, obviously all these people are a certain, like, you know. Like, no one's saying anything specific to a certain group of people. Right. But, you know, in sometimes the world today, people are too sensitive.
Her publicist did a great job of kind of...
Right.
You know, saying, like, listen, we weren't trying to be insensitive. Mm-hmm. It's a movie. And Hathaway didn't even cross her mind, I bet. It wasn't something that they were like, no, oh, this is going to offend people. Like, I would have never thought that, you know?
Exactly. But this world's so... PC going crazy.
Everybody's she handled it really well.
Yeah. So.
Props to her.
But bam. Anne Hathaway, we got your back. You were great in Princess Diaries.
My favorite actress. Among the 10 others.
One of my favorite actresses.
Definitely top 5.
So on a little bit of a high note, we'll end the news segment. You like the Jurassic Park / Jurassic World movies?
Yes.
Okay. So the third Jurassic World movie, Jurassic World Dominion, has wrapped production. This was the first...
Didn't this some people catch COVID?
Here we go. Okay. This was the first major motion picture to go back into production after the shutdowns. Mm. So they, like, big studio budget movie. They're the first ones to have gone back. Let me just give you some of the stats here. Universal commissioned a private medical facility called Your Doctor to manage the entire production's medical requirements. Testing was, like, the backbone of the safety measures. There was more than 40,000 COVID-19 tests conducted with a 0.25% positive rate. Mm. So that's around 100 positive results for the whole production. But, you know, you got to think thousands of people, you know, are there to make a movie. So that's not bad. Some of them were false positives. Some of the positives were returned, like, before they came back to work. So you had to get tested before you went back to work. And, hey, you had a positive, you got to wait. So, like, on set, things were, like, super, super clean. They had more than 1,800 COVID-related signs across. They filmed it in Pinewood Studios, which is just a big production place that a lot of movies are filmed in. They had over 150 hand sanitizer stations and 60 extra sinks just put everywhere. Cleaning was doubled, and in the evenings, all communal areas and facilities were antiviral fogged. All in all, this is the craziest part. The studio added $6 to $8 million on their budget for COVID protocols alone.
Yeah, but if it's gonna make you 3 times as much.
Oh, way more than that.
Shoot. Make it 20 and let's call it a day.
Well, the first Jurassic World movie held the record for the highest grossing movie domestically for a little while until, like, Avengers or whatever. Or no, Star Wars beat it out.
But, how much did they make? It's like, it blows my mind when you tell me how much these movies make.
I can tell you right now. But I just thought it was crazy that, like, $6 to $8 million just for COVID-related things.
Yeah.
To keep your people safe. The first Jurassic World made $1.67 billion with a B dollars.
See? And you know this movie's going to get money.
Oh, like, yeah. It costs...
They have such a huge fan base.
Yeah. It costs $150 million to make, so they...
Whoa! They put money into it.
Well, yeah, but $150 million and they made $1.6 billion?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom made $1.3 billion, you know, and in this movie, they're bringing back the original cast from the first Jurassic Park.
That's cool.
So, they're gonna...
The kids, too?
I don't know about the kids. Oh. I know for a fact they're bringing back Sam Neill, Laura Dern, and Jeff Goldblum, as well as Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, and people that were in the... So it's like their Avengers Endgame. They're bringing everybody in.
Okay.
So that movie did get pushed back a year. It was supposed to come out June 10th, 2021. Now it's going to come out June 10th, 2022. They finished production. You know, obviously now they have to do post-production and whatnot. But I thought, hey, that's some good news. Jurassic World Dominion is what it's going to be called, has finished production. So, hey, that was a good thing for me.
That's exciting. We have to go watch that.
Hopefully
the
world.
4DX.
Yeah, that'd be fun in 4DX.
That one would be fun in 4DX.
Hopefully the world is open by 2022. Actually, this is nothing related to movies, but the major drug company Pfizer has a COVID vaccine that has seen about a 90% success rate according to the news I watched the
other day. I want to wait till other people get it, and then I'll get it. If everybody else survives, I'll jump in.
Yeah, well. All right. Now on to my new favorite part of the show, Mikey's Mandalorian Minute. Okay, so we have Season 2, Episode 2 of The Mandalorian, titled The Passenger. I started last week, I believe, so I'm going to let you start this week as a moderate... No, you're not a Star Wars fan at all, but you're a Mandalorian fan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did you think about this episode? And then I'll tell you why people hated it.
People hated it?
What did you think?
Dang. I liked it.
Right.
It was creepy. Like the spiders creepy and everything. It was. Mm-hmm. But I love how they integrated like a different... It was like almost like a different... Well, the different species. Right. And like they couldn't communicate. And it's so funny because...
Frog
like,
lady.
That's how it is in California. Like sometimes you just run into people you can't understand.
And then you get a lady looking at you with the stank eye because you don't speak Spanish.
And it's funny because I think when I watched it and they were talking about her story and they were like, okay, she has these eggs, blah, blah, blah. I didn't connect with her character because I didn't understand her.
Mm.
And then the second she got the translator
she hacked the droid,
I was like, aw, this poor mom. Yeah. You know, then all of a sudden I saw her in a new light. Like, you know, she had a mission and she wanted to get her babies and the little Yoda. Baby Yoda.
I know. I made a like, meme about that. That this woman's last chance to have kids before she dies, and he just scarfed down three or four of them, I think.
I know. But could you imagine they're like eggs for us, you know?
Yeah.
Like
no, yes. And,
bird eggs.
And the kids are menace.
And now I'm like, man, maybe I shouldn't have eggs. Going vegetarian.
You're going vegetarian now? Oh yeah, that'll last all of 30 minutes. And then we'll have some chicken before we go to bed or something today. A lot of people didn't like this episode because they are kind of relating it to a quote unquote monster of the week. Doesn't serve the story, the overall story, the overarching story that this season's supposed to be telling. What people want to see is A, they want to see Boba Fett because they got a tease of him last week. B, they want to see more Jedi, because that's what the Mandalorian is supposed to be doing, taking Baby Yoda to find the Jedi. And C, they want to see like the other characters that were supposed to be... A lot of characters from Star Wars lore have been said to be guest starring or being introduced this season.
Yeah.
And a lot of fans were just like, this episode was nothing.
You called it. You said this was a filler.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yeah. I had no problem with it because, A...
It was great.
This isn't the Boba Fett show. This is the Mandalorian show. This isn't...
You go along his train.
Exactly. And, like, sometimes in life, that's what happens.
The Mandalorian.
Exactly.
You might have a roadmap, but you might have to curve a little.
You know what I'm saying?
Make a couple turns and then get back. Reroute.
Jump on or get off at the next exit.
Go for the ride and enjoy it.
Exactly. And I had so much fun with this episode just because that's what happens sometimes. You're on your way to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sometimes shit goes sideways. As a Star Wars fan, I like the inclusion of the New Republic X-Wing fighters. Those are the guys that try to... Basically the cops that try to pull them over.
I'm confused. Are those part of the Resistance or are those part of the evil guy?
Okay, so here we go. This show takes place about 5 years after the fall of the Empire.
Okay.
So, that's when Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine, you remember those guys?
Mm-hmm.
After they both died, Luke Skywalker saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
This is about 5 years after that.
Okay.
So, the Empire was basically the communist party that controlled the entire galaxy.
Right.
They're done. Okay. And now these guys are part of the New Republic. We're trying to set order to this. It's a democracy, but you know we still have to police. That's who these guys are a part of. In about 20
years,
they are
like the Resistance.
Well, they were the rebels, and now they're in charge. And in about 20 years, the bad guys with Kylo Ren and them, they're gonna claim power, and then that's when the Resistance is
gonna
show up.
The USA to me.
Hey-o.
I was just kidding.
No.
It sounds funny.
We're just having fun. I'll probably... Whoa. That was real.
No, it was my mouth.
No.
It was like a blooper, you know?
Yeah. No, I got it. I'm going to cut that in the end. I'm going to start putting in bloopers in the end.
Salad with the L.A.
What?
Salad without the L.A. That's how I feel.
What is that? I get it.
Without
sad.
LA.
Yeah. But why? Where's that from?
I don't know. It's just a meme. I thought it was funny.
Salad without the L-A. That's like, I like to say I'm good like God with an extra L.
Ooh. I almost said it. I was like, ooh. I felt like a kindergarten.
Sound it out in your head.
I forgot how to read for a second.
All right. Anyways.
I should not be a teacher.
You work with kids. Gosh. All right, let's get back on track.
All right.
So I like that they're showing the progression of the galaxy. You know, we saw a little bit of that in the last step or in the last season when they went and freed that prisoner guy. And then one of those pilots is actually Dave Filoni, who's a creative head on this show, and he's done a lot of other Star Wars shows, and he's directed a couple episodes. Also, my buddy The Formal Review on Twitter reached out to me and wanted to know, and
advertising for them?
I'm like, yeah, I we talk, and so...
The Formal Review, I'm going to give you my email so you can send me prices and...
Prices? For anybody who wants to know, she has no idea. Okay, listen, The Formal Review does a great... He writes reviews, and he has a great podcast. If you guys want to go and listen, The Formal Review, he's a great guy. But he wanted to know, and I know you're not going to care because... You're going to piss off some of my listeners, but you don't like any Harry Potter ever. Own it. Don't look at me like that. Own it. Come on.
See, you just threw me under
Come
the
on.
Bus.
Own it, because I have to talk about this because someone asked me to talk about
Why
this.
Why do you have to throw me under the bus Listen. Like that, though? Listen.
Tell me.
Harry Potter is for 12-year-old little boys. And if you like it, you're probably 12.
Okay, well then that would make you a pedophile.
As you sit here in your PJs. In your Spider-Man PJs. Tell me I'm not wrong. Wait.
Oh, jeez. So my buddy Formal, The Formal Review, he asked me how I feel about The Mandalorian ripping off Chamber of Secrets. I'm going to give you a little spark notes because it doesn't really matter. You don't have to know anything about Harry Potter. But in the second book or movie, whatever you want to say, Harry and his buddy Ron get attacked by one giant spider and then his millions of kids. You know, some spiders are smaller, some like exactly kind of what happened in The Mandalorian. Not because Baby Yoda ate one of the eggs, but just, you know, I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
However, was it a ripoff? Meh, maybe.
Who cares? Who they cares? Did it better.
But who cares? Honestly, I like this better. And a little fun fact for you. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman by the name...
You're so ruthless tonight.
I know, right? There's a gentleman by the name of Ralph McQuarrie.
Mm-hmm.
And he did... most, if not all, of the concept art for the original Star Wars movies that came out in the 70s.
Okay.
And he drew a picture of a giant spider that Luke was supposed to interact with on the planet that he met Yoda on.
Okay.
Like, it was just, you know, it was concept art. Nothing ever happened with it. Probably because they couldn't do that back in the day. They didn't have the ability, the effects, the budget, whatever. So they took a piece of his art and brought it to life. And I thought that was pretty freaking cool. And spiders in the Star Wars universe, that's a big no thank you. The only other spiders that have scared me more than these ones are spiders from The Mist. If you haven't seen The Mist,
oh, scary.
Those spiders like have acidic webs. Nasty.
Yeah.
But I liked it. The whole time I'm thinking, why isn't this dude using his flamethrower more? That was my only problem with it.
Because he did a couple times.
A couple times, but like I'd be...
Because you're running.
Just,
if you're running...
But he wouldn't have had to run. She was pantomiming running while we're trying to sit.
If you're running, it's hard to like, because you know I've done this.
I've had to.
Because I am the Mandalorian. Flames. No, I would imagine like you can't, you know.
Okay, but
it's like you'd have to run backwards.
Check this out. Okay. I played video games. I used to play this video game called Zombie Apocalypse.
Video games are not real life.
But my favorite thing to do was when I would get a flamethrower and I would just sit there and just. I wouldn't have to go anywhere because everything that would touch the fire would be done. Also,
you have to move. The fire doesn't immediately stop them.
It does in the game called Star Wars Bounty
Hunter.
There's a game called Star Wars Bounty Hunter where you play as Jango Fett, a Mandalorian, and he has a flamethrower. And you can just mow dudes down. So, I don't know. I just thought he should use it more. But he did use it
now
at the
I
end.
Now I feel like they gotta go test it out.
All right, let's go get a flamethrower. We'll go to Australia because they got a crazy spider season down there. And then we'll just get arrested.
Oh, not like real animals. Just test the flamethrower.
On what?
I don't know.
Anyways, So I had a lot of fun with this episode. I like episodes like this because it's just
they're fun. Just fun to watch.
It's just fun to watch. It's fun. I think what I think is that a lot of people, you know, I watch theory videos on YouTube and different things like that, and a lot of people think that, like, or a lot of people had a lot of ideas for what was happening on this ice planet, because we saw an ice planet in the trailer. There's a lot of ice planets in Star Wars. Some of them are pretty significant, so a lot of people were like, oh my god, what's gonna happen here? Mm-hmm. This is where they're gonna find a bunch of Jedi stuff. This is blah blah blah. It ended up not being that, and people got mad about it. Shut up, who cares? It was a good episode. It looked good. It was fun.
Sometimes you have to extend the storyline.
Yeah,
try to write a book. It's really hard. You gotta
only have 8 episodes.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, you can't get to nitty gritty like right away.
You gotta dangle it in front of them sometimes.
Yeah, you need to go for the ride.
All right. Well,
wait for the good stuff.
Yeah, so.
Patience is virtue.
I'm really enjoying this season. Betty's really enjoying this season as she is a Mandalorian fan, and I'm just gonna hope
gonna
that
get
this
a tattoo
can,
on my left
this
hand
could
side.
This could segue her into other Star Wars-y stuff.
No, this is it. I draw the line.
All right, fine. Whatever. I don't care. But that'll do it for Mikey's Mandalorian Minute. Now on to the last part of the show, which I haven't given a name to yet because I had a name, but most of the time, co-host didn't really like it. So we're just going to talk about a movie because we're all in lockdown. We're all stuck inside for the most part. A movie that we streamed this week, and we're going to tell you, hey, should you stream it or should you not? We're going to try to keep it as vague as possible if you want to watch it. But we caught a movie this week on Netflix. It's actually a movie that came out a few years ago, but it just got added to Netflix. And we do this thing where we kind of look at the Netflix top 10. And
my recommendation?
Which one?
The Impossible.
No! Oh my gosh. Well, now I have to talk about that too.
Go watch The Impossible. It's so good. And if you don't cry, you're...
You have no heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, well then, all right, well, let's throw that out there too. The Impossible, that movie came out in 2012, it was?
Yeah.
2012. I think a lot of people watched it, why it's on the top 10 on Netflix, because little Tom Holland's in it.
I had never seen it.
I'd never seen it either, but I'm saying, like, if people look at it and go, oh my God, Tom Holland's in this? And then they just watch it because he's a huge star now.
Honestly, it just had a good 30-second clip.
Yeah.
That's why it grabbed me. I was like, oh, looks interesting.
So
Nicole Kidman's in it.
No, she's not. That's Naomi Watts. Naomi Watts, Ewan McGregor. You were close.
They look alike.
A little bit. They do look alike. And then Tom Holland. The Impossible is actually really, really good. You should go and watch it. But what I was going
to
talk about
was... Just be ready to cry. So, like, if you're embarrassed to cry like I am, watch it by yourself. Because that's what I did.
Right. What I was going to talk about was the Keanu Reeves movie, Knock Knock.
Ew.
Ew.
First of all, Keanu Reeves should not have been in that movie. I'm sorry, that was the worst decision you could have made.
You're kind of giving away the end where we're going to say...
His yell is like, no! It's not even like a real yell. It's like a, I want to yell, but I want to look manly. It's like, no, don't look manly. Yell for your life. Retake.
Okay, so... Basically, what happens in this movie is Keanu Reeves is, happily married and a father, and his wife and kids go away for a little beach vacation. He's stuck working at home, and then one night, knock, 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 on a rainy night, two Hottie McThotties knock on his door, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're watching this movie, gentlemen, with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, whatever, I guarantee you your significant other is going to turn to you and go, what would you do if that happened to you? Because that's what Betty did to me, and I promise you, your girlfriend, wife, boyfriend is going
to
turn
to you
and go, what
time.
Would you do if two girls knocked on the door in the rain and they were soaking wet? And would you let them in? And blah, 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 blah.
That's what, I do it regardless of the topic because I just genuinely want to know.
Right. Okay.
And... You would never do anything like that, so I'm glad you're not going to get murdered.
Exactly. Yeah, so, well, spoiler alert. Anyways, you know what I think we're going to start calling this segment is one movie you should stream and one you shouldn't, because this has gone completely off the rails. I don't think Knock Knock was worth it.
Look, it's like The Mandalorian. You know, you might take a little...
My show has been hijacked, man.
You might have to make a U-turn, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. Anyways, so go to Netflix, stream The Impossible. You can skip Knock Knock because, I mean, it just got weird. Like, the premise, I guess, was interesting enough, but the places that it went was just so weird. And I remember when that movie came out, I was like, eh, I don't know. That's why I never watched it before, because I didn't want to pay money to go and see it, because it just didn't look that interesting to me. And then watching it all the way through, I was like, I'm glad I didn't go watch
it. I think it was because, like, it wasn't this or that. Like, it wasn't, like, a gruesome movie, because the director was the one that made Hostile.
Right, right. So, Eli Roth, he's a very, the what they call, you know, like, torture porn. Like, explicit. A lot of bloody, gross movies are the stuff that he produces.
So, when you said that, I was like, man, this is going to be gruesome. Right. Like, we're in for a treat, you know? Just slash it.
That's a treat, huh?
I don't know.
All right.
And then on the other side, it was like, or is it a mystery thriller?
Right.
Where it's like, you don't really know what's going on until the end. And then it's like this big, you know, twist.
But it wasn't even. It wasn't either or.
It wasn't like, this and it wasn't that. It was like kind of in the middle and yet not.
It wasn't the air quote twist wasn't even satisfying. Well, there was a sort of a twist because you were led to believe one thing and then it's like, oh no, that's not true.
No, it was just these stupid girls.
Don't spoil it. We didn't spoil The Impossible.
No, that one you should watch.
You should,
this
but
one
I'm saying,
you should not.
We're saying you shouldn't, but we're not going to spoil it for you. Make the decision yourself, but I think that's one you can skip.
Yeah, I think so too. Watch The Impossible.
That's watch The Impossible. Better. Don't need to watch Knock Knock unless you just want to laugh.
I don't know. I didn't laugh.
Well, I mean, I started laughing.
You want to be confused.
You want to be confused. Knock Knock. But I started laughing with Keanu's scream.
Oh, his yells?
Yeah. So.
It's like, the chair.
So, yeah. We're going to try to... I'm switching it up on us. Look at that. On the fly right there. We're going to try to recommend a movie you should watch and then recommend one you could skip because we're stuck at home.
Ooh,
so all we do...
Watch or skip.
Watch or skip.
Content creator right here.
Content creator. That's how she gets a producer credit for the show. That was fun.
That was fun. Sorry, I was a little loopy.
You're a little loopy. But hey, you know what? Gets the people some entertainment.
I'm not normally like this.
No, she's not, which is weird. No. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, tell a friend. Mm-hmm. That'd be nice. Leave a like, do a rating, review, share it on your socials. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Big Screen Pod. Give us a follow. Subscribe to the show.
Have a great day.
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 Night, morning, great night. Whenever you're listening.
Have a great morning.
You know?
Have a great night, morning.
Have a great Christmas if you don't come back. You know? Who knows? All right. Say bye to the people.
Aloha.